I'm here to tell you about Naptime Radio. It's a show for moms and dads, and these chicks are super cool.
Mac Daddy and Damia.
And they want you to listen.
Yes, we want it. We want it so bad.
I know you do. Heather and Kate offer helpful info for parents with their power naps. Oh, and did I mention? These chicks are sexy as hell, y'all.
Let's ride that train.
All I need is a ticket.
Let's eliminate one article of clothing for one meal. How about that?
Oh, now it's a party. So go to naptimeradio.com or click on the logo available on our site.
Nailed it!
Listen to me, listen to my words as they vanish. Let's go chase the sun.
Hello and welcome to the Dad Podcast. This is episode. It has been a fuck ton amount of time. I'm gonna open up the gates with an F bomb since I've done a show. The listeners know this. I'm here with. I didn't know this. I want to tell this story because I think it's funny. Drake Witham, as you saw in the title and description, is a comic that I would call my friend. I don't know. Tell me if I'm wrong. But when you're a comedian, you can have a friend, but then also never see them except for maybe once a year.
Years. You don't know where they live. Yeah. Nothing about them. But when you do see them, you're like, oh my God,
I love that guy. To the point where I went over and I tried to fix a fan, I think, in your bathroom or something like that.
I think so, yeah.
And I think it was at least 2 or 3 years ago.
It's been a while.
Yeah. So I was sitting there and I had realized that I was out of guests, essentially. And so I had this idea, and this is the other reason why I wanted to bring this up, is what this all started with is I was like, you know what? I'm going to start contacting listeners to the show. And I realized that not everybody who listens follows us on Twitter or likes us on the Facebook. So please do that, because that's an easy way for me to communicate to you when I'm not doing episodes. You could follow us on Twitter at Dad Podcast or Facebook.com/Dad Podcast. And so if you're out there, it would help if you have a headset with a microphone, even if you do it for like a little World of Warcrafting or whatever. That would be nice because it would help with the audio quality. Or drop me an email and say, hey, I would love to do the show. So anyway, I go on the Facebook, and the most recent person to like us on Facebook, I click on it, is a comedian I now know named Tommy Riles. And he has a social network for dad type website called lifeofdad.com. And so I was looking through that, and then I see Drake is doing a benefit show for him, and I get like 2 minutes into the video, if that, and Drake's like, he goes, well, we had our first kid 10 months ago, and I shut down the computer, and I called him, and I said, hey, Drake, what's going on? So I thought that was one of those cool, and I think you when you called me back, you left a voicemail, and said, yeah, you came out to look at a fan. In my place,
it was complicated electrical work where I think you had to plug something in.
Yeah,
literally as simple as you put a light bulb in.
Right,
and I was like, oh
I think I'm trying to think how what I don't think I was doing this then. I wish I remember what year it was.
I don't think so. I don't even know. Did you?
I didn't have kids.
I don't think you had kids.
Yeah, so that had to be at least almost 4 years ago.
Yeah.
So you have a 10-month-old son.
10-month-old son.
Yeah.
We'd been trying for 2 years
to have a kid, to have the 10-month-old son.
That's something that they just make it out like it's so easy,
right?
Like you're growing up, and you're like, oh, be careful,
right?
Safe sex and all
this.
And you know, you look at someone, you're going to get them pregnant, and then trying.
Here's my opinion: this is how you know that you are successful and or white. Because I feel like if you have any amount of like a good, and I'm not even saying like upper middle class. I'm just saying if you could pay your bills for whatever reason, if you decide I want a child, I want to bring it into this world. I've organized my life in a way that now I can afford a child. I have time for a child. That is when it is hard for you to make a child for whatever reason. But if you are in the back seat of some prom. night or whatever with a guy you've never met before, Shazam, baby.
You will get pregnant.
You will get knocked up. And I remember in my days of premarital sex, because that lady over there, my lovely bride, is my high school sweetheart. So all of my premarital sex happened in the year prior to meeting her in high school. Maybe 2 years, I guess, because we met her senior year. I lost my virginity sophomore year. So anyway, but I remember you sweat bullets. You sit there and you're like, oh, it, like you were like, this is going to be great. And then immediately after it's over, it's like, okay, now you have to just make sure that she didn't get pregnant. And I remember I used to wear the extra thick condoms, like, and all the, because all those, like, after school videos would tell you things like, you know, oh, does it really ruin the sensation? There was some PSA type commercial that it was like, you know what ruins the sensation? Screaming child, like a screaming baby or whatever. Right, right. So I remember just going, I don't care. It feels good enough, even with the double bag, triple layered, like, I can't even remember the name of it, but it was some like extra thick condom that Trojan made that I was
You're so built for that sensation at that age.
Just the fact that I'm pressing flesh against another. Yeah. I mean, also, let's think about it. I mean, we're talking about teenagers. This is the, I mean, look, you have great genetics. You're a skinny dude. You know what I mean? So, but me, I've plumped up since I was in high school. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. My wife, on the other hand, also great genetics. She was, you know, slim, trim, all that jazz. But just the idea of touching that teenage body when it's in its prime, you know what I mean? And it's procreation ready. I'm getting creepy now. I didn't mean to.
This has nothing to do with being a dad. This is about being a teenager.
No. And get your fuck on. Yeah. Let's do it up and do it up. Right. Let's see. I got the music for that. Yes, that's right. It's prom. You've got the extra thick condoms in your pocket. You don't have to worry about it. For breakfast, you had a bean burrito and a Dr. Pepper, and your lunch consisted of a cherry Pepsi and Funyuns, and you're looking fucking good. So let's get it on, kids. We have teenagers that listen to the show. Please keep it in your pants. So anyway, here's my point. You're saying you tried for years and,
First of all, I did not subscribe to the, I was more of the, you were kind of like the overprotective. I was kind of the, let's roll the dice.
You really? In high school, you just like,
let's take a shot.
Really?
You know, the rhythm method, right?
I was always fascinated because you're the first person that you're the first person I've ever talked about this to, but you're the first person that this is like talking, because when I was in high school, I used to think, how are all these people getting pregnant? They make extra thick condoms. How is that even happening? Like, and then you hear stories about, dear, so-and-so, the condom broke. She might be pregnant. Yeah, there was no chance of that happening with mine. Like, seriously, I really think it could catch a bullet.
The pill, very effective.
I didn't know. Well, see, I had this weird philosophy, too, that I wasn't going to have unprotected sex until I was married. Like, that was how I was going to save myself. I was really stupid. Still am, I'm sure.
I was going to do whatever it took
to get there.
And, I happened to, the first couple of girls were on the pill.
Yeah.
And I would ask about it. I would inquire. I was responsible enough to ask about it. But then it was kind of like that. Oh, you got it covered? Well, I asked.
So how does that come up, though? Isn't that, it's so funny, like, to see what sex transitions from. When there's that excitement there's this weird awkwardness that happens to where now, like, how long have you been married to your wife?
We've been married. I should know this.
I'm sorry. I should have given you cliff notes beforehand. We're supposed to throw each other under the bus. She's not going to hear this.
6 years.
Does she have an iPod? Does she own an iPod?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Sure. She probably won't hear this, though. She doesn't care.
She'll check in.
So, 06, you were married. So what? By my math, that makes 6 years?
6 years.
Yeah. So, are you at the level... at the point where you're just like, hey, you want to do this?
She lets me have sex with her.
She lets, exactly. See what I mean? Like, but compared to, like, I just remember that, like, that excited feeling that you would feel in your chest and you would, like, kind of like, oh. And then, but you would get, everything was going so, like, there was a weird vibration that was happening so fast that you couldn't see clearly. And so you could just say things like, so are you on the pill? Like, you know, that could just fly out of your mouth.
It would happen before. It's interesting that we're talking about this because she just today told me that we were out of the woods.
Oh, really?
Because we had, you know, what is it, 2 weeks ago now?
Yeah.
Had sex and we were just...
We're like, oh. And it's a weird thing. My wife tells me.
Caught up in the moment. And yeah. I immediately think, I think Louis C.K. has a bit about, well, you were ovulating. Of course, that's why you were so into it. And, you know, like, so happens. It's great. And then it's like it's this type session where you're like, I'm going to tell some people about it. And it's literally think I would be on a podcast 2 weeks later telling people about it. But anyway, listeners, believe me, it was that good. And that whole thing happens. Then immediately I'm like, so when was your last week? She's like, I don't know, about 2 weeks. And I was like, so you were ovulating.
You're ovulating right now.
So... again, just rolling the dice.
Just go for it. Well, that's
and
the
then
thing.
Today we find out, you know, and it wasn't to that point. I mean, what are you going to do? You're not 19. You're not going to go see a doctor. You got, you know, you got a kid.
You're
married. It's
like, well, I guess we're going to have another kid.
We're having another kid, right?
That's the responsible thing to do.
Yeah. Right.
The responsible thing to do is to stay married and just make life. That's what.
Right. Tax our situation more, right? Tax the world's resources.
It's so,
just cause, you know.
So easy with this 10-month-old right now. Let's double down. Yeah. Why not?
And then you have those moments like, I don't know how you do it with two. I walked in and, you know, I see you do it with two.
Yeah. I don't do it. Anybody who listens to the show knows I don't do it.
Yeah.
I think we're getting by. I think there's. I like to think that with one child, I am an A+ dad, like above, over the moon, just amazing there. And then it drops off to a sudden like C-, D+ at a lot of moments, just barely passing when I have two children is what I found. I'm hoping that I can do. I'm in the mindset that it's because one of them is not a real human being yet. He's still like in the flesh slug stage and just grunting and pointing, and now he's mobile. He's walking around, and that's cool. But once they get to be like, once he's say 7 or 6, then I will feel like that's when I can get in there and I'm gonna get both of them going. But
okay,
although I have also recently realized that because a couple nights this little son of a bitch here, who's actually staying up late right now, making his mother very angry, I'm assuming, slept all night. Or a couple times, and that makes a humongous difference.
Oh,
Jesus Christ,
yeah.
You don't. I feel like such an idiot because I don't. All of a sudden, you're like, why do I feel amazing? I ate a lot of cherries yesterday. I think it's because I even told my wife, I had a lot of fruit yesterday. I feel great. I was wrestling with both of my kids at the same time, going, and my oldest son got tired. And I'm like, fucking got you. Daddy's back, you bitch. You know? I was all amped up and ready to go. And I was like, what's going on? Oh, I got to get more cherries. I need more cherries. And then all of a sudden, I realized that, oh, no, we got a full night's sleep.
Yeah.
That's all it is. It's just a full night's sleep. Fuck cherries. Go back to donuts.
Okay. All right.
But anyway, I'm sorry. It's been a while since I've done one of these, so I'm getting a little all over the place or whatever. So you were saying 2 weeks ago you had the moment of passion, and now you're out of the woods, so now you're not going to have a kid.
We're not having a kid 9-10 months from now.
Right. Now, why is it that, because what we did, my wife told the OB, said, you know, hey, well, I know because I'm breastfeeding, I can't go back on the pill, right? And he was like, no. And so she's like, well, how long after, you know, can I go back on the pill? Now, my wife, when she had our first kid, weren't you like 29, barely 30, dear? Yeah, no. Yeah, you were 29. And so the doctor says to my 29-year-old wife, which is a prime age for women, a prime age, says, well, you're not getting any younger. I almost slapped him. I was like, what the fuck are you doing? And luckily, my wife has a good solid head on her shoulders. She was like, what? Like, but he didn't want to give her the pill. So we had to go back to high school condom sex. And it was funny because I slipped back to my roots. And I'm here to tell you, there are teenagers that listen to the show. I slipped back to my roots. I just bought the extra thick ones without even thinking about it because that's what daddy knew. And then I realized, well, I can roll the dice a little bit. I could be a field study test. So I got the extra sensitive. We tried all different kinds of varieties. It doesn't matter. Not ultimately. No, it doesn't matter.
But they worked. I have a hard time.
What do you mean?
With the condoms. I trained my body not to use them. So on this... there's few occasions where I've screwed up and used
maybe that's
them.
What it is. So you're saying you're the reason that there are PSAs. When you throw a Jimmy on or whatever, it's like I don't even, you could be in another room and I don't even know what's going on.
It's still sex. It's not that bad, but it's not as good as it should be.
Right. Maybe I'm being a little unfair. I do remember the first time I went bareback, and it was like, whoa, this is different. But I just don't, maybe I'm simple-minded and that the PSAs work for me, because I do remember thinking, yeah, but it's not worth it. It's not worth it to me.
I think it's responsible is what it was. I was just lucky. And the pill is effective. And people were on it, and they were, they would say, don't need it.
It's just so interesting to me, though, that you could, and I just love the dynamic of, there's the moments are different now. Like, that's what I keep thinking back to. Like, when you're in high school or you're a teenager, or even if you did it for the first time in college, there's those moments of, it's a little anxiety or whatever, and there's always that weirdness for where the chick has to, it's almost like you're watching a National Geographic movie, and the chick has to look at you and go, yes, at some point. I was just reminiscing about a story with a friend of mine where there was, my wife is the only chick in high school that I actually, there's two other chicks that I tried, I was like, this is happening, and got shot down. But my wife is the only chick that I made the move. All the other girls, they were like, no, why are you not making the move? I was always trying to be a gentleman, thinking, every after school special had ever told me that you don't pressure a girl into doing that. She doesn't want to. She's never going to want to do this. That even when you get married to her, she's not going to want to do this.
Right.
And that, so I was like, oh, to the point where this one time I had a fire. My parents were out of town. I made a fire and a Bob's Take and Bake Pizza from Modesto, California, because daddy's fucking classy. Had a job at the time. You know how it works, Drake. You're no stranger to this. I mean, you go bareback. That's how you roll. Come on, you can't go bareback and throw a little game.
There are money to be thrown around on extra thick condoms. What was that pizza? That fancy
Bob's
stuff.
Take and Bake. That's a $13 extra large pizza. Because here's where a lot of people don't know this. The biggest part of the overhead in the pizza industry, that damn oven. That's why they have to hit you with that $30 pizza. It's because that oven, they got to keep maintain it. They got to clean it. They got to have a dude work it, But if they just got to put pizzas on a topping and take, it's $10 for a pizza. That's a lot of expense for an oven. I would get rid of pizza ovens altogether if it was me. But anyway.
Have you had a $30 pizza? I mean, is it that much better?
A round table is about a $30 extra large. Am I wrong? Am I crazy on this?
I don't know. I feel like a pizza should be like $5, $9. You get the frozen kind. It's all it does.
You're not eating good pizza, number one.
Okay. But here's the thing. I didn't know there was bad pizza.
There isn't, but there is better pizza.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It is the perfect euphemism for sex, to actually bring us full circle yet again. Okay. That is that even though it's like, you got a condom on, it's still sex. You know what I mean? So even though you paid $5, it's still pizza. But if you're going, you're barebacking an LA 8.
Did I misunderstand? Are you saying you could pay $5 and have sex?
Yes. Yes. Oh, yeah. That could definitely happen. Yeah, it could definitely happen, I'm sure. You're going to need a condom, so it's going to feel like $1.50 sex to you.
It's going to take a while. Right?
you're going to be sweating for all the wrong reasons, but it can happen. Okay. We could do that. That makes me laugh. So I had a fire going. We watched a romantic comedy.
You remember what it
was? And then, I think it was While You Were Sleeping. Is that a romantic comedy where the guy, he gets in a car crash and a girl pretends to be his girlfriend? It's Sandra Bullock. I just remember because it has this hilarious opening shot where the paper boy throws the paper and crashes. And I laughed hysterically because I was a paper boy and I thought that was hilarious. And the girl didn't laugh that much that I was with.
Ugh, tough.
I know.
It's tough. I mean, you're willing to compromise.
There's yes. Yeah.
No well, sense no, of humor,
I,
but.
No, I didn't even have that in me. She was gorgeous. She was beautiful. I was on board. And so we had a party that we were supposed to go to. So we watched the movie. I had made delicious Bob's Take and Bake Pizza. Which, by the way, if you're ever in Modesto, seriously, get that fucking pizza because it's way better than anything you can have delivered, to be honest. But anyway. I'm giving commercials from Modesto. What the fuck am I doing? This is what separates me from Corolla. This is it right here. He doesn't care about the grassroots people.
A lot of free commercials for businesses.
So anyway, we get in the car and she gets weird. Like as soon as we get in, literally as soon as the door shuts and I start the car and I pull out of the driveway, she just kind of gets weird. I could feel her. I go, you okay? She's like, well, yeah, it's fine. Yeah, no big deal. And I'm like,
Oh, right. Which, you know, that means everything is fucked.
Yes, yeah. I was, even at that age, I was smart enough to be able to go, yeah, but I know that you're lying. I go, well, you just seem weird. What's going on? And she goes, well, I just, you know, I don't know. I thought you, I don't know how to say this. I thought you were into me. I go, are you kidding me? I'm very into you. Like,
did you see the fire? Did you see the piece?
Yeah, like, that's what I'm thinking.
Right.
And she's like, but for her, she's also young. You know, where this is, you know, maybe another reason why teenagers shouldn't be having sex. But she's like wants to say it, but it's not ladylike, I guess, to say it in this weird kind of stupid human courtship dance we've created. And so she goes, so it come, because I'm so stupid, as many women know that men are in this area, that she just goes, well, I thought you wanted to have sex. And I go, I always do. I'm a guy. Like,
I always do.
Sure. Yes. Did I make a fire and cook a delicious pizza on a baking paper, not on that fucking pan bullshit they try to sell you on? That's just an upsell item. I made it on the baking paper because you get a good crisp crust that gives you texture. And yes, I got a romantic comedy. And did I weep at the end when they found true love? Really? Yes, because that is the kind of guy I am.
Did she hold you?
Yeah. Oh, I wish. And she, but that doesn't necessarily mean that I'm so much not a man that I would not, you know, throw down right here, right now, if that's, you know. I go, no, I'm out. She goes, well, I just thought, I go, well, I didn't think you would want to, because I was just trying to be a gentleman. Uh-huh. And she was like, you don't have to do that. And I was like, which is exciting, that's, you know, for me. I was like, all right, here we go. So we didn't go to the party. We didn't. We went back to the house and I relit the fire.
But she kind of had to take the lead.
Yeah. Oh, that was all. Any girl that was.
Sex doesn't occur because we're so hung up on being.
Oh,
polite.
I think a lot. I think,
and that's a shame. So, yeah. Like, we're not advocating, like, you know, being forceful.
No.
But don't get hung up on being too polite.
Yeah.
You know, respect the word no. Respect the word no. But
well, here's,
make sure you ask the question.
I like where this is going. I'm here. I want to say this up front. I'm glad that we have not even mentioned really anything about being a dad or a parent, really, because I do think this is something that all dads face and have faced. This is a common male issue. I don't think we could solve it.
Can I tell you the truth? I several times a day forget that I am a dad.
Yeah.
And I was just in that moment for about 20 minutes.
That's good. It's all right. You're 10 months in. You're never going to have that moment go away. But anyway, so I like this because here's the thing. I do think... I heard this. This is what I heard from a chick. There was a girl that I went to college with, and she said, she goes like, oh, so-and-so, like, literally within the same conversation, you know how you're like a 30 minutes, you're just hanging out, chatting with friends, and there's a group of us, and she was like, oh my God, there's this guy, and I'm into blah, 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 or whatever, and she's like, but, you know, I don't know how to get him to, like, you know, and then there's this other guy, though, that like, some time passes, and then she goes, oh, that guy, he's a creep. He's a total creep, and I'm like, no, he's into you.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, yeah, but he's creepy. I'm like, yeah, but why is it that he's like, he just complimented you? He said that your hair looked nice. He wasn't like, he's not saying, I want you to taste my balls. Like, he's not even going that weird. He's just saying, he's giving a normal compliment, and that you, what makes it creepy? And then she didn't have a moment to think about it. And she said, well, he's not attractive. I go, therein lies the rub, is that as men, it is hard for us to figure out. That's why guys are kind of jockish, you know what I mean? They got the Chris Evans look to them. Right. They can just walk around and it just falls on them. Like, you know, and they're just, and the same thing, I think, with hot chicks. You can't give a hot chick a compliment, except for, like, good, like, I found that, like, what, like, usually Midwestern hot chicks don't really know that they're hot. And some Southern, depending on where they're from. But, you know, you could give a hot chick a compliment. She's like, oh, thank you. You know, kind of thing.
Yeah, they'll appreciate it. But they usually know, right?
Usually.
Especially
here in L.A. Here in L.A., if you try to talk to, like, you just say, oh, you're... Because I like doing that. I'm not unhappy with my wife. Right. I love her to death. I have no interest in, you know, leaving. So it's like... But I like the idea of being able to compliment a lady to make her feel nice about herself. But then it's like, I always make it weird. That's where I think it is that I think that the real issue and why politeness begets no sex is because if we're too forward with the compliments, even not even just say, you can't obviously come up and go, listen, I want to bury my purple headed warrior deep into your life pool valley or whatever you want to call it. You know, I don't want to. You can't do that. But at the same
life
time,
pool valley, that's a condo complex. Right?
Yeah. And then you can't. But at the same time, you can't open with you on the pill. You know what I mean? That's also not gonna. Right. That's not a strong opener.
But I also feel like it's switching now with young people today that where you can do that, and that's part of your game. And I remember there were people that did that, and they maybe came off as a little creepy, but other times I'd be shocked like it worked. It's like the dude that gets pulled over for a ticket. I had this friend, and he talks shit to the cop. And the cop's like, I can write you a coupon. He's like, coupon? What are you talking about? You're talking about a ticket? And he just talks shit to it. And the cop, somehow, it was like a Obi-Wan like situation.
Jiu-jitsu to verbally out
and
of the...
And the guy let him go.
Wow.
So there's part of like just that talking trash, I think, that works. And then the other thing is that, you know, we are too polite when you think about how it works in the animal world where they just run up to each other and, you know, rape each other. I saw this thing on a polar bear. Polar bear that wants to have sex has to, first of all, you have to track down the female for miles.
Hard to find. They're camouflaged.
And then, yeah, exactly. And then they're with the dude, and you have to fight that dude and defeat him just so you can have sex with this woman. And then you're attacked periodically.
The next time,
And as long as you
can defend off.
You get to have sex with this bear as long as you're fighting. So they showed
a polar bear vagina is more like a castle than it is a vagina. And then you have to rampart it in some way. If they could manufacture tools, they would, you know, that's what... I wonder if that's what we had to do at some point in our culture.
They showed this poor bear just bleeding for days. Like, he's a polar bear, like you said, camouflage, except he's not. He's all red.
Yeah.
He's given up his camouflage. It's one defense so they can hunt him down. And fight him. He was like 3-0, 3-1. I mean, he ultimately lost.
Yeah.
But you know, while they were with him,
he was a fighter. And then when he goes down, he ultimately knows. Like that's a weird.
It's like, are you kidding? Dudes actually bitch about not being able to have sex or not being able to get a woman.
Yeah.
And they don't have to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a little easier, right?
You know, and that's a horrible way. You know how they say your eyes still work 20 seconds after your brain stops. You know what I mean? That's a horrible last vision to see him like. Clump, because polar bears aren't sexy. When you know he's clumsily mounting this poor guy's ex-wife. You know what I mean? She's kind of looking at him like, "Well, you lost, asshole.
Yeah,
this is what you're missing out on." Because I imagine if that's in the structure, the chicks aren't that sentimental about it. I would guess in a polar bear world, they're probably like, "Well, you should have fucking used your left hook a little bit harder if you wanted to keep all of this." Well, I don't know, like, because that's the thing too that I think is interesting. I think that the reason it's simple in the animal world is because in a lot of cases they look alike. Like in a polar bear, that seems kind of masturbatory to me. It's a smaller version of me that I'm climbing up on and, you know, and getting grisly with or whatever. Like a turtle too, I can't imagine that being attractive.
But is it that do they look identical to each other? Is it some of the animals, I don't know if it's penguins or what, they mate for life.
Yeah. And there's kind of
they probably looked. I think it's the polite thing. I think that's what screws us up. That's what makes us different. I don't think they're worried about
feelings and
is it polite?
Monogamy. Yeah.
Should I be doing this?
Yeah.
Or
it's
I'm
an alpha male.
I have this primal urge. I'm going to go do this.
Get ready for it. Here it comes. Well, and here's the other thing too, because I think that I found this. It's kind of serendipitous that we started off. I don't know if I subconsciously created this, but. What the hell just happened? Oh, I'm hitting a wrong thing. Why is it doing that? You need to stop doing that right now. No, it's not you. It's this cable. Hold on. I'm going to hit pause. And we're back. Okay. So I found this. I get emails from parenting.com. And then, so there was like a confessions or whatever, and we'll go into that too. But one of the things that I thought was interesting, since we're talking about this, and it didn't work. Oh, they could go. Is this website called trueconfessions.com. It seems to be only for women because it has a single bride, wife, mom, body, office, military wives. I don't understand what that means. But this one was the most me too'd, I guess. I don't know if that's it's like liking. It's a little thumbs up thing on this website.
I also had this experience. Me too. Right?
Yeah. Okay. So, and it's truconfessions.com. And what it is, I walk a fine line every night getting dressed for bed. Goal, look good enough to keep the self-esteem high, but not too good that my husband comes on to me. Are you fucking kidding me? How is that a thing? Like, I don't understand.
Oh, of course, that doesn't make sense to you.
No.
I can understand that. I think the male version of that is always compliment her.
Yeah.
Always tell her how great she looks at that, you know. Especially, you know, right around bed.
Yeah.
When she may not feel the best about whatever she's wearing. You know.
But it's just such an interesting dynamic to me. Here's the honest to God's truth is I don't think I have that within my own relationship. My wife is pretty much, you know, since we had the kids, obviously she gets tired. So there's that politeness that I have where it's mm-hmm. like, sure, would I like to fool around? Yes, of course. But she's only going on 3 hours of sleep. She's got a cold. She may or may not be menstruating. These are all obstacles that I'm like, all right, I'll pass and maybe another day. I'll live to fight another day. Mm-hmm. But I don't, like, I just think it's so interesting to me. Like, I want to know how biological it is or how much it's, like, societal influence. Because here's the other thing. Like, this chick says, this makes me sad for your DH. I guess husband is what I'm guessing. Or dear husband. I don't know. But sometimes when I'm not in the mood for sex, I put on my scrubbiest looking PJs. And I think, no way will he say I look hot in this. And he'll see me and say, ooh, you look hot when I have sex. I always give in, even when I'm not in the mood. He actually tries really hard then to make it very, very worthwhile for me. Ha ha. I don't like the ha ha at the end of that. But
I don't enjoy that either. Still hung up on the DH.
I don't know what that is. Designated hitter?
That's exactly what I was thinking.
That's where the man brain goes.
Three-way is Edgar Martinez is in the other room plowing this guy's wife.
It's like a weird polar bear situation. It's like the lights are going down and the manager walks into the bedroom. He's like, what the hell's going on? Drake, I got to pull you out, man. What do you mean I got to pull you out? Listen, buddy, you've been pumping in there for a lot, and I'm telling you.
It's good effort, kid.
I don't care how much whiskey dick you think you have. You got to stay in power, all right? You're done. You're finished, kid.
Going to the pen and Rivera's in a golf cart in the other room. Comes driving in.
I like baseball.
Gonna bring in the closer, kid. Yeah. I think that's my nightmare of sex, right? You get all the way to the end and you don't get to finish.
Yeah.
But someone else does.
This weird stunt double like thing.
This is a great website. I had no idea so much about baseball.
Fuck ESPN. And then the last comment that a chick made was, you have to look good for bed, which I think, now that's more what I think could be the real issue. I always thought that's the real issue why married people have less sex or whatever, is because there is that little bit of, you know, familiarity or like comfort, I guess, that kind of gets in the way. Mm-hmm. But I just can't imagine that, because there has to be, this is the most Me Too'd thing out there. This is also like, it's almost like a stereotypical sitcom joke of like, the idea of that the husband is always in the mood, the wife is never in the mood.
Right, right.
And I guess I always believed that that was just something that didn't exist in the real world, and that it was something that was just used to poke fun at TV because it had happened occasionally. Obviously, it has to happen enough to be a joke that we can relate to and understand the concept of.
Right.
I mean, I've been I don't want to sound like my, because this is the other thing. I don't like talking about this because I feel like there's no way my wife could be in the mood every time. And it's kind of like this chick here where it's like, she just kind of rolls over and is like, sure, which I'm a big fan of. I think any mom listening to this show, just try it once. This is it. And I know I've said this before. Wear your shittiest outfit to bed, right? But just roll over. Don't say a word and just grab him on his man rod and just do something that you think he has only seen on the internet to him. And just watch how your husband treats you the next day. I'm telling you mm-hmm. that if you think that your husband will not change.
Folks, imagine him staring into your eyes as he's telling you this. See if you can get into my mind.
Well, that's because I do think, like, here's what I think. I imagine that every guy listening to this is like, fuck, I got to get my wife to listen to the show. You know what I mean? On some level. But I do believe my wife has done it to me where it's like, I don't know where that came from, but thank you.
Yeah, yeah,
thank you for everything that you've done. And I will, and it's a weird, like, it's a weird hypnosis that it does to you, that all of a sudden you're like, I gotta do whatever it takes to keep her happy. Like, that was, she's done me a solid.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? Like, and so that's the thing that I think is so interesting. And I don't, that there's women out there, because here's the thing. What I was going to say is that there's a women out there who don't see it as, like, it's empowering, I would imagine, that it's like, you're sought after, you're desired.
Right,
you have to walk a fine line between looking good enough so that you're like, yeah, I feel good. I'm a lady, mm-hmm. but I don't want to look so hot that he's, you know, I'm constantly being chased by a boner all the time. You know what I mean?
Sure.
That it's like, if you can feel empowered with it without using it against him, I think you could have a pretty solid, happy life with a husband who'll do anything for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, am I crazy on this?
No, I see what you're saying there, but I do understand this, where she wants to feel desired, but she doesn't want to go through the whole
right
process and the whole.
Because here's where I think kids comes into play. Is this what you're going to say? That before you had your child,
mm-hmm.
did you feel like there was that kind of thing? There wasn't that kind of level of exhaustion. Like, what do you think got in the way between you and your lady making magic time?
Well, I mean, when you first have the kid, you're tired. There's also just that period where you can't.
Yeah.
Right.
But what I'm saying is beforehand, was because I feel like before you had the kid, mm-hmm. in my situation, there wasn't a lot of that. Like, I kind of feel like the kid throws up a little bit of a cock block, understandably. Not that I'm saying I should hate my children because of it.
Right.
But it creates a little bit of, like, an energy suck. It creates a little bit of, no sleep. Like what you said, there's that, you know, I think it's a couple months or a month where you can't, like, it's, you like, stay away.
6 weeks.
No fly zone. Yeah, about a month and a half then. Yeah.
We were there on day 36. Oh, it's time. Yeah. No, when the doctor said no more excuses. You're talking about romantic.
Yeah. You
know, forget your fire and your pizza. You come in with no more excuses.
That is
you're getting laid.
That is the creepiest advent calendar ever made. Honey, why are you buying all this construction paper and Elmer's Glue, making an advent calendar?
It's 25 it's June. Days, no, 36.
36
days. Advent calendar.
Is that really what I like on day 36? You're like, huh?
Yeah.
Was she also like kind of like, I've missed you?
I think
you?
She wanted to see what was going to.
How it was going to go down.
How it was going to work out.
So I like, for her, it's scientific. For you, it's love.
As long as we're all there. Our reasons may be different.
We have the same objective.
The other thing you can do as a guy is just say, hey, maybe we can just. You know, we don't have to do everything. We mm-hmm. can just take care of me.
Yeah.
It's essentially, you know, just be there and, you know, get a hand job out of it, whatever you can.
Yeah.
That will quickly turn into
yes.
Sex.
You could take
it's
that to the
like
next.
What this woman was saying here.
With the ha-ha at the end where she's
yeah,
like, if she
like,
just gives in.
He talks her into it, essentially, yes. is what she was saying. I mean, she wants to be talked into it at some level.
Yeah. I always boil it down to, like, this is what I think that chicks should do. And you can, feminist, I look forward to your emails. But that if you have a man who goes out, makes a living to take care of you and your children. Now, I understand. I have lived your life if you are the homemaker. That's mm-hmm. what I do. And I get that there is a vibe of like, I would give anything to go out and just fucking punch in and punch out at a job instead of deal with the psychological fucking gauntlet.
Are you staying home?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm in it to win it. All day, and she, you know, and it's like, it's, I just like last week, I had the conversation with my wife. I have mental breakdowns every once in a while where I say to her things like, the common one that people have heard me say on the show all the time is like, this was your idea to have two. And now I'm living your life. That's right. What I'm doing. You wanted two. You're away. You're gone uh-huh, uh-huh. having magical water cooler conversations, I imagine. Yeah. I'm constantly dodging shit and piss
yeah.
and screaming and making meals and doing their laundry, you know.
If anyone calls me during the day, they're having a conversation. Talk, tell me everything about your life.
Don't even get me started. For whatever reason, the phone only fucking rings when it's time for me to put one of them down for a nap. Like,
okay.
As soon as we get settled in, we're like, you know what? It's time to chill. Let's watch a TV show. I get, as soon as my ass just goes, yeah, this feels nice. Everybody's quiet. Like, motherfucker. I'm going to be the person who turns the ringer off on the phone, and then I'll forget to turn it back on, and then people will just call and leave voicemails, and I will be off the grid like an Amish man. But but I don't even know what got me onto all this. But what was I saying? Oh, so I get, so oh, here's what I'm saying. But if you have a husband who goes out, he has a job, takes care of the family and everything like that, even though I know you're tired and maybe you're not in the mood, it doesn't have to be all the time. I'm just saying more often than not, just let him, you know, let him get a little polar bearish on you is all I'm saying. And everything will be fine. Everything will be right in the world. And that if you actually withhold it from him, that it's going to be, there's this weird animosity, I think, that could kind of build up. I'm sure my wife has it, but she just, you know, she's nice and doesn't communicate it, that she's like, yeah, I'd like to have a fucking husband who could earn a living to take care of his family. I'm sure she has that card in her purse somewhere.
Oh, yeah. it's just, it's us knowing that it's there that makes that one hard.
Yeah.
That's the biggest part that I struggle with.
Like, what's that? I'm sorry.
Being a stay-at-home dad. Yeah. Walking around with him during the day, and I feel like, you know, the looks they're giving me is, oh, that's so great. What a great guy he
yeah,
is. He's
yeah.
his dad. But what I, the way it gets filtered through to me.
Yeah, by the time it hits you.
This guy can't even earn a living.
Wow, he's got to rely on his wife?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
That's wow. not what, I mean, but you can tell. You can tell that's yeah. the crossing guard. That's what he's thinking.
Well, I had just a couple weeks ago, the preschool teacher said to me, because I drop my son off at preschool every day, uh-huh. and I come with my youngest every day, and all of a sudden, I've been going there for a month and a half now, and one of the teachers goes, you with him all day? And I go, I didn't understand the question because right. I'd been there for a month and a half. This bitch has seen me drop my kids off every fucking day. Like, so I don't understand. It took a month and a half for her to feel comfortable enough to finally kind of say, so what do you do exactly? What is your situation?
Right.
You got a trust fund somewhere? But she doesn't say that because she barely speaks English. She's, you know, you with him all day?
Yeah.
And I go, because I was like, yeah, like, why would I leave him somewhere? I'm like, yeah, Jacob. So I said, yeah, Jacob's the only one who goes to school. I said, so I take care of him. But it's only 3 hours that Jacob's at the school. And she's like, just you? No wife? I go, no, I'm married. I go, but, oh, your wife works? I go, yeah. I go, she goes, and then the other preschool teacher is like, so you work at night? I go, kind of. I'm a comedian. I said, but I kind of don't really. I go out on the road occasionally. Like, yeah, and then they're like, yeah. Oh, so you just take care of the kids, huh? And I'm like, yeah, like, because here's the part of it. It's not, yeah. it's not easy, but it's not impossible. Like, that's the part I also don't like about it. I think that in not all situations, but I think dads have the stereotypical unfair shake that it's like, you can't change a diaper. You can't feed a fucking kid. You can't figure that shit out. Now, am I nurturing? And I've talked about this with my therapist. Am I nurturing like my wife would be? Probably not. No. Is my house a little bit more like an army base, I'm guessing? Yeah, probably, because I'm a little bit like, quit fucking crying, let's go. Like, you know, like,
dad's
got shit to do, let's go. That's how I talk to my kids. And
I found myself saying that. The kid's 10 months old.
Yeah.
I'm like,
oh,
you don't need to cry about that. Come on. You could do, because my wife talks to him like he can understand everything.
Yeah.
And at some level, he can. He can understand some things. He knows. He understands no now, and he'll start looking at us. So I'm like, you know, but I have a hard time talking to him about, now we're changing your diaper. Now we're doing, because I feel like an idiot.
Yeah.
Right? It's not my job how I feel. I'm supposed to teach this kid how to communicate. But if I can talk to him, like, then I'm going to do it. And what I'm thinking right now is, don't whine.
No.
Don't cry. Yeah. You banged your head. It's fine.
Yeah, it happens.
You're
yeah.
stuck under the table. He crawls under the table and he just bangs it, bangs it, bangs it, bangs it. And he's stopping. He's crying. I'm like, well, get out from under the table.
It's true. I like the idea. I'm laughing so hard because this is. I've talked to dads on the show all the time, but I feel like this is the first time I'm kind of seeing in my own brain a little bit where I do feel there is a funniness to the almost insensitivity of it being a stay-at-home dad, where it's like. Like, you do look at him and go, why would you think that three times in a row you're going to be able to sit at your table? Like, you know, right. like, there is this expectation. My wife kind of went, hey, or whatever, because I said something. I can't even remember what it was. I think I was saying, I told my son to stop throwing a fit. And then he threw a bigger fit or whatever. So I gave him a timeout. And so then I give him the timeout, and then after the timeout, we sit down and you talk to him and go, why did you get a timeout? You know, and then you say, well, you have to tell me you're sorry. We learned it from Super Nanny because we're fucking brilliant. And so I go, why are you being dumb? My wife, she didn't say it, which is great, but I could feel like the disturbance in the force in the house.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he's like, don't say that. He said it to me. And I go, well, son, I'm telling you to stop throwing a fit. Your reaction is to throw a bigger fit.
Right.
That's kind of the definition of dumb. Like, that's not the way to get what you want. Right. I go, and I've tried explaining it to you thousands of other ways, and it's not getting in there. That's where I am.
Right.
And at this point, he glazes over, and he's not listening.
He didn't say to you, you told me to do something, I kept doing it, and then you told me to do it again.
Yeah.
He didn't say, you're being dumb?
No.
He just told me to do it again. genetics, right?
I'll
bang my head on the table and I'll keep trying to get out.
I'll do it. I'll figure this out. That's the other part I see in those little situations where I'm like, this isn't supposed to happen until you're 15. Like, that's when you and I are supposed to butt heads on this level.
Oh, yeah, no, that starts right at the defiance.
As soon as they can move. Like,
the velociraptors testing the fence, man. They just keep... This, can I do this? Can I do it now? Can I do this now? Kid, I don't know why. I don't know why he loves to lick on the sole of his shoe. It's his favorite thing. I don't even stop him when he's licking on the floor, right? Yeah, whatever. Taste it. Try it out. Put your mouth on it, right? Germs. I told my wife, I was joking. It's like, their mouths are like dogs. They have that disinfectant. I literally told her that. I didn't think it was true. I found out it is kind of true.
Oh, really?
Yes, that whole thing about licking your wounds.
Uh-huh.
Because I thought human mouths were the dirtiest.
Yeah, they always say, when people let their dog French kiss them, they're like, well, his mouth is cleaner than mine.
Right,
it's still fucking gross, lady.
But and they're kind of into that anyway.
Yeah.
Big dog? Yeah, I seen that woman. But that whole licking your wounds thing, it is kind of true.
Yeah.
You know, and so, like, I found this out because last week our child burned himself on coffee. And it was awful. I mean,
is he
going to
sue you?
if he knew about it, I'd tell him it never happened.
He can't figure out a table. He's
not going to remember anything.
He's not going to get through the judicial system.
It was one of these things, though, where you put it down for... They get fast so quickly.
Yes.
And I put the coffee down on a coffee table, and he had spit up. So I went to grab a paper towel and went to clean it, and the next thing I hear is him screaming. And he had... And I come back, and the coffee is spilled. The coffee cup is not over. So he didn't spill it himself, but he clearly got it in his
jostled
hands.
Jostled it or whatever.
Oh, man. So I grab him, take him over, run it under cold water, and he's screaming. He's losing it. You know, and we're both trying to... Soothe him and, you know, put him in the bathtub, ice, you know.
Like he's a pitcher.
Yeah, that's it.
He's there next to your bedroom DH.
I stand his arm. Yeah, we get the whole team in there. But, but he was losing it for like 90 minutes.
I'm so sorry that he keeps doing that. I have a bad cable. Hold on. Okay, sorry. So he's losing it.
90 minutes, and he's never done this. I mean, you know, we put him down.
Motherfucker.
Screaming. Well, here's the thing. Like, the two people that provide everything for him, you know, are now pinning him down. he's in the worst pain of his life, and the only two people that he trusts in the world are pinning him down, putting ice on him, which just hurts more. He's screaming. He's losing it. And you're freaked out. You don't know what to do, you know. And I'm like, part of me is like, okay, it's a burn. I know it's not bad. It's not on his face.
Hold on. I'm so sorry. I don't know why this is doing this. Oh, there we go. Thank you. All right. So now a new cable. So 90 minutes of screaming. I apologize. He's got a wound.
And then he was fine. He's a good-natured kid, and he was calm after that. His hands had started to blister.
Oh, no.
A little bit. So, like, I saw in the book, I was like, it was like, oh, this is second-degree burn. Even if you take him in the next day, it's fine.
Yeah.
You're like, it's okay. We did take him in, but you know, we had these bandages on him. We put like gauze and that blue painter's tape around his arms.
Did you have to do the interview with CPS at all? Clearly, it's not abuse. So use painter's tape. It's not tucked.
These people don't know what they're doing. Right?
That's all it is.
But he was fine. He's smiling the whole time after that. I mean, the initial pain, and then what only in his mind could be an attack from his parents as they pin him down with ice, and she's trying to breastfeed him to soothe him. I'm holding his arms down, you know.
Ice on his hand, a tit in his mouth. Right. It's a lot of confusion.
Both arms, you know, just no control.
That's always how I felt. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
But the point I was getting to is like the whole nurture thing is like, you know, as dads, it's like, you know, we know the difference between a real injury.
Yeah.
And if he's just whining, you know, it's like, I remember, did you have brothers? I had little brothers.
Yeah, I had a big brother.
And I learned this very quickly that when they fall and hit themselves, don't look at them. They'll let you know. They'll scream if there's a real injury.
Yeah.
But if they see you look at them and they're like, oh, maybe this is supposed to hurt. And then they start crying. Maybe they're embarrassed, whatever it is. If you let them just bang their head on the table repeatedly. I don't mean that. But if you let them let you know if it's a bad injury, then I think you're better off because you're not teaching them how to cry.
Am I hearing that humming or are you hearing it?
No, you are hearing it.
Okay, good.
It was the phone.
It was my phone next to my laptop. I apologize.
It's all right.
Anyway, I'm sorry. So look at I agree wholeheartedly with if you could just make it, you know, make it just head down, keep going. Because, but I'm doing this weird thing. Now my son is almost four, and if he can't put his pajamas on right, then it's like he makes this weird noise I have.
Are you a rageaholic?
I don't know. I mean, do you see this? Do you, if you're in traffic, do you lose it?
No. No. Well, I have. I do lose it.
If you're
I do
alone
lose
in the car, do you lose it?
No.
Really?
No, you don't? I don't freak out. But
I'm starting to think this may be a problem with me. This is going to be tangent number 97 here, but look, I was trying to drive through a parking lot the other day, and someone was just stopped right there, right in the middle of the parking lot. They're talking to someone else. I'm not even in a hurry, but the idea that someone would block this passageway, and I'm like, get out of the way. And they can't hear me, but they can just see me, like, screaming.
Bouncing around
car.
Your minivan.
So after a little bit, they pull up, and the woman pulls up alongside me, just young teenage girl, and she goes, "You need to settle down," or something like that. And I'm like, I didn't even know. I get told what to do, essentially, by a teenage girl.
Yeah, that's not.
But anyway, I'm going to see if he's going to have these same rage issues. I only do it if I'm alone. I'm embarrassed if someone else is in the car. I won't do it.
Yeah.
You know? And it's exactly why. Because you will be called out.
Well, you're right. Because, the therapist pointed out to me also that there are a lot of ways that he's similar to me, which kind of made me feel better because I'm like, well, my life isn't so bad. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because I was trying really hard to give him the perfect life. You know, treat him like a cake. If I put all the right ingredients in, then everything will come out better.
Right.
And in actuality, I was just making a heightened version of myself. I think that's what was really happening. Because
cake is delicious. It'll make you as crazy as me, but it's delicious.
Eat it up, you son of a bitch. Eat it up. Hit your fucking head.
Did you go into therapy after the kids, or were you already in
after.
Therapy? Okay.
Because I started doing stand up, like I would have these whenever. I don't know if you went through the same thing. Now I don't care, but. If I had like a bad show and a really bad show that I thought I should have nailed it, then I would get miserable, like just depressed because I would start feeling like this thing, like this was my dream. This was my ambition and I'm failing at it. And I didn't know how to process that. And then my wife was pregnant and I was like, I don't think it's fair to my wife to have her parent me and parent our son. So I need to figure this shit out. And I had that thought, just as she was pregnant, and then but I never followed through on it because I think I was just busy working and stuff. But then there was a time when my son was 3 months old, I couldn't get him to stop crying. I had already tapped her out from having a rough go, and I got scared and I put him down because I was afraid I was going to hurt him, and I screamed, "I don't know what the fuck you want," at the top of my lungs. And I went, I got to get that doctor's number. So that's when it started, and it helped me out like a ton. It's really funny to me, and I don't know, maybe I'm the example, but I do think it's funny that you kind of make this joke of how what you're doing is going to put your kid in therapy. I'm like, I think that therapy are more important than chin-ups. You know what I mean? Like in school. Like, I really think that if you could find a good therapist, and I've only known this one guy, and he's amazing, with me. I'm sure that people have had bad experiences. I don't know. But the experiences I've had, it's like, I feel like everybody on some level could use some kind of bouncing off of just to kind of make you go. You have that thing in your head that's just like, why the fuck does this happen? And you're oh, that's why. Oh, okay, now I'm good. You know, so... it helped me out a ton. It helped me out with my parenting. And he pointed out that, like I said, that he is a lot like me, which makes a lot of sense. But as far as like, I do have this thing where I get it from my dad where it's like, I'll just go, fuck, you know, or something like that. And so maybe this is a 4-year-old version of that, which is hilarious because you could see it generationally, like that evolutionary chart they have at the Natural History Museum. You could see the fuck, like, because my grandfather, who's very Christian, you know, very conservative, he's like, oh, dang it. Like, that's his, you know. Which now, when I do that impression of it, sounds a lot like my son. Wow. But my dad was, motherfucker. Like, that's what his was. And so mine's, oh, fuck. Like, that's, and it's a little bit closer to my dad's. And my son's is just some kind of guttural dying goose noise that he makes that leads into a cry because he can't find a blanket. And it drives me up a wall that it's like, he constantly, this is my world now with him, where he says, he goes, he'll be like, he'll just be sitting here and he's going, like, and I go, what are you doing? What is, I can't wear my blanket. Where is it? Where is it? I go, son, for the 80 bajillionth time, when you're in the room with me and you see me looking at my computer or I'm feeding your brother, guess what I'm not doing? Hiding your blanket. Guess. That's the least of my concerns right now. You know what I would like for you to do? Figure out how to fucking find it. That's I don't curse at him. But not in that case. I have cursed at him before. But I go, figure out how to find it. This is where you need to learn. And then recently, he's almost four. He's not even four yet. And I had this conversation, which my father had with me when I was 16. Yeah. That's how good of a father I am. I said,
speeding up.
He's an accelerator program. He's going to be awesome. He's going to be a champ. And so I said to him the other day, I go, son, I've tried helping you find your toys and your blanket, and that's not helping you, evidently, because you don't seem to figure it out on your own. Now I'm saying you have to figure this out. Nice. You have to find it. And so then he goes, if you throw a fit, then you have to get a timeout, because I'm not going to accept fits either. I go, if you just use your head and stop, think about where you put it, and look around the house. It's a limited amount of square footage. Okay.
Yeah.
I go, just figure it out. And then he goes up to his room. And then this is what I love. He goes up, and I know that he's not even smart enough to where he goes and, like, pretends to look or doesn't even go. He goes into the room, does, like, a head move, and then turns back around. You know what I mean? Because it's not there. It's not in my room, Dad. It's not there. And I go, okay, if I find it in your room, can I keep it? Oh, my God. To see his brain go blue screen on that, he doesn't compute. And he's like, no. And I go, well, then you're not that sure that it's not there then, right? That's what that says. He doesn't understand this logic. This is where I fail as a parent. But he, on some level.
Let me explain that you go up to like a whiteboard. You like draw out all these calculations.
Everything with this poor kid has to fucking deal with. Preschool is hilarious. I just realized this. Preschool is probably the simplest part of his day. The part where he's supposed to be getting his education is the least confusing part of his day. Fucking seeing some old McDonald, paints a goddamn paper plate to look like a sunflower. And then he comes home.
For logic problems.
And fucking Aristotle is breaking shit down for him. Poor kid.
A is B, therefore C.
Okay.
I don't even know. What are those?
They're the letters. Don't they teach you anything in this school? I pay $700 goddamn dollars a month. Quit throwing fits. Oh, yeah, it's good times. It's good times. that was it. That was quick. That went by fast. We did it already. So we'll wrap up. We do, I think I told you, we do moments. Oh, wait, hold on. There's some other stuff in here I wanted to go through. Are you okay?
I'm fine. I got nowhere to be. I'm out of the house. Do you find this while you're looking through that? Let me ask you this. When you go on the road, do you just love it?
Oh, yeah.
Isn't it the greatest time?
Yeah, there's a little bit like when you get there. That I feel like, oh man, my poor wife. Now they're old enough that I don't necessarily feel sorry for her. Plus we have a sitter, so it's like it's, you know, nighttime is the only real hard time for her.
I make sure I call her and tell her that I miss her and all that.
Yeah.
I don't miss anything. I'm so glad I don't have to get up at 6:30 in the morning. I'd like to change a diaper. I'd change a ton of diapers. Yeah. I can't do it.
Yeah.
I can't do it now. Why would I ruin both of our times? Why would I make myself miserable thinking about what I could be doing? That's a waste of energy.
That's not fair to you or me, honey, really, if you think about it. She's half asleep when you're talking to her. So this is what started this whole thing here, is the parenting.com sent out a thing of, you know, confessions. That parents had, or I think it was like mom's secrets. Yeah, mom's secrets. And I thought it was interesting. It says, what's your dirty little mom secret? We partnered with Today Moms on today.com on an exclusive survey of more than 25,000 women to find out how moms really live their lives and how they feel about their kids, partners, and other moms. Read on here. So it's one of those things where they click through the pictures. Mom confession number one, wants to be left alone. Me time, when you could do whatever you darn well please, become practically non-existent once you're a parent, and our survey found it's the pre-baby luxury that moms miss most. From mom before kids, a better body, more disposable income, time with friends. 23% of moms most crave alone time. I can't wait to get away from my kids sometimes. I need alone time.
I could see that, the alone time. I wish I had more money. That doesn't seem like a confession.
Yeah, exactly. It's a secret. Shh. I wish I was wealthier. Confession number two, she's weird about breastfeeding.
Not really a secret.
While 18% of moms say they judge others for choosing not to breastfeed, even more, 42% confess they get sketched out over extended breastfeeding. I breastfed my daughter until after she was two, but my mom and husband are the only ones that know that, one respondent wrote. So she secretly was breastfeeding her two-year-old. Oh. I can't imagine. To me, it's funny the amount of calories that are burned about what other people are doing with their kids. Like, as much as I do a podcast for dads, I really honestly don't really give a shit about what people do to their kids. Like, I see people that I look at, I'm like, oh, man. I wish that that was different for them, but I still look at it. That kid's going to be fine, though, because people have come out of far, far worse than whatever situation I'm staring at here.
Someone told me a great thing. It was like it's really hard to screw up a kid.
Yeah.
You know,
I think, but I don't see.
Resilient. As long as there's not abuse, as long as you're not, you know, doing abuse is getting way too wide of a brush now.
Yeah.
You know, you yell at a kid, you spank at a kid, whatever. As long as you're not beating your child regularly or probably even the occasional beating's not good.
But, well, even then, well, I talked about this with my buddy who's having a kid in September. And I said, I go, you know what's funny is that I've recently tried to relax on myself because I carry a lot of this guilt. Like, what if I'm doing something wrong? What if I'm doing wrong? When it in my gut, I get tired and then there's a part of my brain that's like, you're not doing anything fucking wrong. You hug and kiss the shit out of the kid. Tell him you're telling him how great looking he is and how much you love him and how he's the most important thing to you in the world. Like if he comes out of this not okay, there's a little bit of that on him. Like that's and here's why. My father used to beat the living fuck out of me. And even when he would leave handprints on my ass or knuckle me in the head, not once did I ever think my father didn't love me. I never grew up not thinking that. My father made me get a fucking job when I was nine that I wasn't happy about, but I did it because he made me.
Right.
And I kind of.
What were you doing when you were nine?
A paper route.
Okay.
You had to be 12 to get a paper route, and he made me get it when I was nine because he's like, you need a job.
Get your fake ID so you get a paper route.
No, he put it in his name. Like, we had a signature. I've told this story so many times. I'm sorry to listeners. But, yeah, like, the lady sat down, and I was filling out the paperwork, and when I wrote my birth date, she goes, wait. You're only 9 years old? And it was like, I go, yeah. She goes, she looks at my dad. You go, he has to be 12 to do a paper out. I was just pissed because we just wasted her night, I guess. And she had to find somebody else to fill her out. And he's like, put it in my name. I'll help him. So okay. She was like, okay, great. Sure. And then he helped me until I was 12, which it was, so it worked out that I was big enough to do it. But yeah, he made me get a paper out. And I never, he told me that when I was young, I have a joke in my act about it. It's a true story that I blew a speaker off the wall in a stereo. And he told me that I had two other brothers and a sister that did the same thing, and he killed them and buried them in the backyard. Now, that's some fucked up shit if you look at it on paper. But here's my point. I say this because I want the parents to get a little bit off of their own back. And that, I think, I know this isn't an advice show, but it's just, this is what I've learned. That my father said that horribly fucked up thing to me. And you know what? It took 20 years later before I even thought in the weirdest way that that was fucked up. Because I would tell stories to my friends and like, your dad is a fucking asshole. And I'd be like, no, my dad loves me. My dad's a shit. I had some great times with my dad. I had some great adventures. That man did. And because here's what stuck with me. The things that he did. I remember there were things like when I moved out, I remember that he made me get that paper out. And I remember why he did it. And I remember seeing people my age that didn't know how to handle money, didn't know how to pay bills. And that was not a concern of mine. I had that realization then, and I'm like, that's how he helped me. Yeah. And then there's another time that he drove and talked me through. We had to build something for a play that I was doing, and he drove and he talked me through it on his way from Tahoe. He would build anything for me he could teach me to figure out how to do stuff. And there were some things that I think he didn't teach very well, but there was nothing he wouldn't do for me, and I think that is what sticks. I can't remember. I don't have specific memories of beatings or him hitting me or him yelling at me. And that's a general like feeling or tone of fear when I was young. But
you have those skills now. You have carpentry skills. You can bury a sibling in the backyard at a moment's notice.
Yeah, one of those boys should not fuck with me. Because I'll make an example of him for the other. Because I know that even hypothetically it works. I know firsthand. I'm glad you pointed out, Drake. Because I can tell. I'll schedule a bulky item pickup on his ass, and I just got to put him out in front of the apartment building. They'll come pick him up. The city will dump him. That's a whole other bullshit piece. She wants a do-over. So this is one I thought was really interesting. She'll probably say yes to your face, but anonymously, 71% of moms told us that if they could go do it all over again, they'd do it a little differently. Almost 23% would choose another spouse. 21% wish they had more kids. And 19% would pick a more flexible career path. A slim 4% fessed up to questioning the decision to have children altogether. Now, that number blows my mind.
This number isn't on here, but 98% gave different answers when they were asked the next day. I'm not saying it's women. People tend to be a little moody.
Especially when they have a kid. But I like this picture. You can't see it, and I'm sorry to our listeners, but if you do a search of momconfessionsparenting.com, you can see it. It's number 5, but it's just like the dad's in the background holding the kid, and mom is...
And like, my wife is...
It's a beautiful, like, African-American family. Like, look, she's clearly a model. So is he. That's not their child. They have... Because here's why. They have, look at how old that baby is. That baby is, what, 7 months old? You guess it? 5, 6, maybe? Right. White furniture. All white furniture. Why? Because it looks pretty against their dark ebony skin in a photo. No family that has a 6-month-old has all white furniture. Fuck you. White walls, fucking white blinds, and then like a light birch hardwood floor. That's the only thing that makes sense is the laminate wood floor.
Any added weight at all.
Yeah, this no. She's...
That's good. That was good daddy detective
work. Yeah, that's what furniture. I do. That's She'll take sleep over sex. Once the kids are asleep, almost 53% of moms would take a good night of sleep over mind-blowing sex any day. Being tired is an almost universal complaint among moms we surveyed. As one mom put it, everyone tells us to enjoy the time you have with your kids while they're young, but sometimes I'm just so tired and worn out, enjoying them just feels like more work. Yeah, that's true. I would agree with that. I think the reason I thought of that is that, guys, let them sleep in for a few nights, and then that's when you can get back to evidently mind-blowing sex.
Yeah.
Is the expectation. Let's not even get into that. She's distracted by technology. 5% of moms owned up to their child getting hurt because they were busy texting or surfing the web.
And that's got to be a low number, right? That's got to be a low number.
18% have had close calls, which means that nearly a quarter of the moms surveyed are a little too attached to their tech devices. That's hilarious to me.
Yeah.
What else? She medicates her kids.
Oh, now we're getting into some stuff.
Yeah. Mom trying to reason with a shrieking kid at 30,000 feet, or maybe you've been her. Either way, desperate times call for desperate measures, and fear of having an unruly child motivates almost 18% of moms surveyed to medicate their child before a long car trip or flight. Almost 8% of moms even said they sometimes do it on a regular night at home just to get some peace and quiet.
We're a little vague on medicating. Are we talking about...
That's got to be Benadryl. That's Benadryl? The only way that I think that any...
We're not talking bourbon on the gums.
Yeah, I don't think... not to get insensitive, but like, wasn't it Casey Anthony was doing like Robitussin or something, like some kind of like really hardcore stuff? Mm-hmm. I don't know why, to me, Benadryl is the light stuff. Like, I imagine that there's some kind of baby PSA that like Benadryl is the marijuana for babies. It's going to lead to Tussin.
Someone just told me this week that their mother had given them Benadryl.
My dad did. He said, yeah. But it was a joke in my act, too, that my cousin was taking a flight and wanted to take a long car ride. She was moving from California to Minnesota and didn't want to deal with the baby, so she was making her husband drive. She was going to fly with the baby. And he's like, why don't you get in the car? You could stop whenever you want. She's like, well, if she starts screaming, it's just too long a trip to deal with her. And my dad goes, give her some Benadryl. She goes, like, just gasped at him. He goes, your father did it to you. I started laughing. He goes, don't get fucking cocky. I did it to you, too. Well, and I think, like, two generations before, it was fucking Jack Daniels.
Right,
it wasn't
right.
Even, like, Benadryl. Like, they didn't even know what an antihistamine was. judges other moms. I don't care about that. That's a given, I think. Mom has a favorite child. Yeah. 14% of moms surveyed. That's not true. In their heart of hearts, they have a fave. As one mom said, I love all my kids equally, but I enjoy one of them more. Mm-hmm. My dad put this. This is what's funny. My dad doesn't pull any punches. He said, he goes, you don't really necessarily have a favorite, but you always have one that you're, what was it? There's always someone you're more happy than the others. Like there's like a rotation that I guess.
But it rotates. Says,
yeah. Rotates okay. Is what he said. That's enough of that one. This is the one I really thought was interesting.
Is it shoes for kids to get out of things?
Oh, no, I didn't see that. Maybe I shouldn't be stopping here. Invited out by someone you think is boring, kids provide a convenient excuse to blow off things. According to almost 84% of moms surveyed, in fact, 45% reported using their kids to get out of social obligations around once a month.
It's a built-in. It's an easy one you can get to.
I wanted to find... There's another one that I found that I thought was interesting. This mom that has a like a blog or something. Is it this one right here? Let's see. Did I get that? Let's see. Let me do that. Okay. So this is a blog called lifeaintpretty.com, and it has parental confessions that they asked parents some of their confessions like that were secret. And one of sometimes I hide food from my children. I will buy my favorite bag of chips or some ice cream and hide it in the refrigerator when I don't think my kids will find it. I eat it after they go to bed at night because I don't want them to share, or I shove it in my mouth really quickly and turn my back so they can't see me chewing. I like that that's a confession because I do that shit all the time.
Yeah, that's just having siblings, right?
Yeah,
I was talking to someone. I think part of the reason I'm not like a big I'm not a sharer.
Yeah.
My wife wants to share. Try this. That was something that was never said in my house. Here, try this. If something was good, you kept quiet.
Fend for yourself. You should have ordered correctly.
I'm not telling anybody about this.
This is what I love. I'm addicted to McDonald's iced coffee. I'm a frequent visitor to the local drive-thru. Usually my girls are in the car with me. Over time, they wanted drinks as well. At first, I'd buy them high C or fruit smoothies, but they eventually became curious about my drink. It started with a sip or two, but pretty soon my three-year-old daughter was asking for her own iced coffee. I put up a fight and refused to get her one, but she soon wore me down, and I began ordering her a small iced coffee of her own. I justified it by reasoning that coffee comes from a bean, and it's natural, whereas soda and sometimes juice is filled with chemicals.
Yeah, it's parent of the year there.
Well, and that's the thing, too, is that I look at that, and it is, when you read it, it sounds stupid, but at the same time, like, I also don't listen, like, that's what we've come to. You think that because you give your kid an iced coffee at McDonald's that you're fucking up your kid. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, no, it doesn't. Nobody cares.
I do like the built-in justification into the confession.
That's what makes it worse, though. That's the thing.
Oh,
like, that's where it's like, oh, well, now you're dumb. Before, nobody probably would care. This one I love because I kind of agree with this one, even though, but I have the same feeling where it says, on long car trips, I will lay the back seats down flat in the car and let my children sleep while we drive. Now, this is where, remember the justification. We usually drive through the night when there's not much traffic, but I know it's taboo now to do this. I can't help it. I can't stand the fighting and the complaining when they are awake. Making a bed in the back and letting them sleep is the only way I can stand it. Besides, my parents did it with me and my siblings and I. I'm still alive.
Right. No, can you imagine now taking those six-hour car trips strapped in a chair? You were climbing all over the car. It was the only way that made that time.
Well, when the one I drove from California to Texas over 2 days, I spent the entire 2 days because my dad did the like alternating. We never got a hotel.
Yeah.
So it was probably like really like 28 hours or something like that. I spent the entire time in the car in a nook that they had that they had made for me with that didn't have luggage in it. And I thought that was the coolest thing ever, that I was just in this nook. I was removed because they couldn't even see me back there.
Right.
Now, I could have easily pulled a latch on the station wagon and ended up on the freeway, but I never did that. And it is a weird thing. I don't understand it, but at the same time, I do, where it's like, I just don't know. Like, I get it that what he's saying, or it's like, we did it and it's fine. Cause we went to Colorado and it was a snow blizzard. And we were in a minivan. I told my wife, I said, just take him out and change his diaper. My wife's like, no, you can't do that. And I go, yes, you can. It's feasible. I said, or if you want, we could waste an hour pulling over, finding someplace, blah, blah, blah. I go, but there's nobody here with us, you know, and I'm doing like when there was a snow blizzard, I'm doing 15, 20 miles an hour at worst,
right,
you know.
Right, right.
She's like, oh, you have to have a car seat. I go, dear, you and I literally did not have car seats. That was my, you know, justification for it. And I don't know. I think it is one of those things where if you don't have that perspective, you get to, you know, live by the ignorance is bliss. But if you had a sibling or know somebody who has a kid or whatever that was, you know, killed in a car crash or something unfortunate, you have that perspective that you're like, I could never do that, and you're a piece of shit for doing it. So I get that aspect of it,
too.
Well,
they hammer it home, but it's like it's a miracle any of us are here, right?
Yeah,
your parents
exactly.
Smoked, they drank.
By today's standards. That's the part that I think that we kind of don't get is that there is this, and I don't know that I disagree with it, but there is like this developing expectation that nothing bad can ever happen to anyone. And I think that's an unrealistic expectation in life, but whatever. Sometimes I do my children's homework for them, which my sister-in-law did this all the time. And I was like, what the fuck are you doing? Are you kidding me? I am not a TV watcher with the exception of one show that I have to watch every week. I must watch The Bachelor / Bachelorette on Monday nights. It starts at 8 p.m. and ends at 10 p.m. Watching the show is really so much more fun when you have someone to watch it with, and my husband flat out refuses to watch it with me. So I started keeping my four-year-old up with me to watch the show. She got really into it and would ask me on other days of the week, non-Mondays, if we could please watch Ashley, the name of the most recent Bachelorette. My daughter usually goes to bed at 8 p.m. and she'd be a sleepy mess Tuesday morning. The daycare teacher started noticing and commenting on her grumpy behavior. And what about the show's questionable content? Most mothers wouldn't permit a four-year-old to be exposed to such garbage. Nevertheless, I'd let her tune in every Monday. Now The Bachelorette has ended, and arguably the trashiest show to ever grace the television is on in the same time slot, Bachelor Pad. Yep, there we sit, watching together. I don't buy into that. My dad put a porno on when I was, I think, 8 or 7, somewhere around there.
My dad took me to Animal House when I was 5.
Yeah?
In the theater. And it was it was the coolest
You loved
thing
it, right?
Ever. Yeah, loved it. And it's, you get it. You don't get all of it. You see it later. Right, and you're like, right. Understand it. But, you know, fine.
Yeah, I don't.
We're struggling with this TV thing now. She doesn't know TV ever.
Really?
Know? And I don't know when TV gets good for you. I don't know at what age you're like... It's okay. And I don't want to plan them in front of him and have him watch.
Right.
You know,
movie
after movie after movie. And, you know, I wonder if when you have two or when they get older and you're like, I need this. I can't constantly be entertaining him.
I heard this recently on Adam, one of the things. Oh, and I have a link to it, by the way, on the Dad Podcast. There's in the link section. It's an evening with Dennis Prager and Adam Carolla, and they talk a lot about parenting. And I thought it was really interesting. So I linked to it. It's like $5. So go to the dadpodcast.com and click on the links page and you can get it directly from them there. But one of the things that he thought of is that there's this weird thing that you have to stimulate your kid now. Like you have to be doing something. Like there should be decoupage, there should be coloring, there should, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I kind of agree with what Adam Kroll was saying, where it's like he goes, most of my childhood, nobody was stimulating me. Nobody was doing anything. And I do think it sets a weird expectation where it's like, so when you grow up, it's like, well, who is not doing it? Because I just did a movie where one of the other actresses was there. We're sitting around talking, and this girl, she's a grown person. She's in her mid-20s, but she's a grown person, not a child. Walks up and goes, I'm bored.
Yeah.
That's our job. Like, that's our responsibility. And then I was polite or whatever, but then when she left, I'm like, who the fuck says that? And the wardrobe chick was laughing her ass off. She goes, thank you. Thank you. By the way, I go, you're a fucking grown ass. Figure something out.
I like how you were polite and you waited for her to
leave exactly.
Before you talked about her. But,
that's polite. That's doing the right
thing. No, exactly, man. I've always, if you're bored, then you're boring, man.
Yeah.
Just figure it out.
That's what the guy says, Dennis Prager.
There's no such thing as bored.
Yeah.
Do something.
Do something.
Right?
Yeah.
The fact that you're able to walk around and do. There's people that can't get out of bed. There's people that can't, you know.
Now, here's what I have noticed. I have noticed that
Have your kids told you that they're bored yet?
No.
Because I feel like that's one where I will lose it.
Yeah.
On a kid.
Well, here's what I had is that he has something that he wants, or he wants a new toy. And he has a shit ton of stuff. I had a box, you know. Now we're becoming those people where it's like when I was your, but
yeah.
And I look around, I'm like, you know, you have a fuck ton of toys right now. You go play with those, enjoy those. You know what I mean?
And take him over to the dry erase board, show him what a fuck ton is. You know? metric conversion.
Yeah, that's what we do. We got metric in my house. Fuck the standard system. We're going back to the way it was originally supposed to be after the 70s, and we're going metric in the Warsham house. And the highest metric measurement is a fuck ton. You are welcome, America, because we stopped after 10,000 tons. And I said, no.
No, a fuck
no, there ton. Is, fuck there ton. Is something, there is called 10,001 tons and above, and that is a 0.1 fuck ton. So you're welcome. But yeah, I agree. Like, I just don't, what I was going to say is that when you turn the TV off, for me, it's not, like, I think that's what really people should be looking at it, maybe. I don't know if I'm qualified to say the word should, but that I realize that if I'm not focusing on trying to watch a show, that I will play with my kids and tune in, you know, more to what they're doing. So it's really for limiting my, but if I got a ton of stuff to do, I'm going to put on some TV and they're going to sit and veg out and watch some TV.
Right.
And I know that I stimulate. I know that I interact with them. Or even better, I'll sit down and watch some Batman with them. It's fucking good. I like it. That's what's great about being us, and that there are TV shows now that were cool that I could show my kid and he can enjoy it. You know, so that's great. So that's what I do with them. And it's fun. And I still think it's like a shared experience. I don't think this... There's a joke. My son has seen episodes of Dexter or whatever. I think it's stupid that people worry about the content, because he had nightmares. What he had nightmares about the Grinch, but has never had any nightmares about anything crazy that goes on. That's the only time he's ever had a bad dream. And when my wife and I took him to a Taekwondo class and he didn't like it. He had nightmares that night about that, but never about anything he's ever seen on television.
Yeah,
he's seen people get shot up at the end of Red Dead Redemption. They gun the guy down. Spoiler alert. Yeah. And he just was like, the guy got dirty, and he gets it, but he doesn't. I think that he doesn't connect it as being real. I know people disagree, and that's fine. You're allowed to disagree, but whatever. I have decided that my children are some of the grossest people on earth, which in turn has caused me to have a complete phobia about going in the bathroom behind them. I won't sit on the toilet without bleaching it down. Oh my God. So my new best friend is Clorox. I spray everything. The shower is not excluded. I have also learned that I may not want to drink out of cups that they have drank out of, or their friends, because their friends have to be just as gross as my kids because they will hang out in their rooms. I will now start bleaching the dishes. That's funny. I will ignore my children during sports games. Why is that a thing? That's like the oldest thing in the world, where your dad, was it Ray Romano has a joke where to get my dad to come up from the game to watch, to eat dinner, she had a better shot holding up a sign at the stadium get him to get up from his chair to come and eat dinner. Like, that's so funny
Are you not a sports guy?
I am. I mean, but I have like races and stuff like that. But no, what I'm saying is that I think it's funny that that's considered rude to your children. You know what I mean? Like that's where I'm coming at it from.
Oh, I see. I get you.
Yeah, like that. He's like, when they're really like, I watch sports and I don't look at my kids. It's like, fucking, they're not. You know, you don't have to bronze every shit they take. Yeah, exactly. This is such a great show.
We're not having him watch TV today, but today I shot a video of him. I was watching. I got this little app on my phone where I can listen to the baseball games. Mm-hmm. They give you one free game a day, and today it happened to be my team. It was Seattle Mariners.
Nice.
And I'm watching it on the phone, and he's over here, so I'm not letting him watch it. I'm paying attention to him, and the guy's pitching a perfect game. It's a rare thing in baseball. It's going on, and as it gets to the ninth inning, they put it on ESPN. So I go over and I pick him up and I turn the TV on and I videotape me and him watching the last outs. Perfect game. Got home, I showed it to my wife.
How'd that go?
No, she liked it. She got it.
Okay, good.
She understood it.
Yeah.
And I shut it off later. But
yeah. But see,
it was cool, and I'm be able to say him, no, don't ever tell me I didn't, show you a perfect game.
But see, I don't know. I just feel like what I was talking about with my dad is that there is something to be said, even that camaraderie, that combined. There is something, because remember did you ever have anything that you thought was cool that your dad was also into?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Baseball. You know what I mean?
Baseball
was the thing,
movies,
right? Exactly. So, like, the fact that I can sit down and watch a superhero show with my kid and have just as much enjoyment as my son does, I really think he enjoys it. And I enjoy doing it with him. And there was a time where I felt like, oh, man, there was never a time that I pushed him into the superhero thing, but it's like, I'm like, am I kind of copping out? And I'm like, who fucking cares? Just sit and put a smile on your face and fucking hug your kid and watch Batman animated series and quit, get out of your own fucking head. I hope that everybody listening to the show isn't this way. But anyway, belly buttons. Don't get me started on belly buttons. Let me start by saying, in a fight or war, I have the ultimate Achilles heel. Just one move toward the belly button and I become a bowl of Jell-O. To me, it's kind of like a wet finger in the ear, but much more icky. Going to the OB when I was prego all three times and being measured was immense torture weekly. My oldest was had an Audi and thought it was great fun to stand in front of me and pull it in and out. I give you the chills just thinking my poor husband had to clean and manage the whole belly button Tootsie Roll. What? Oh, that. Okay. When my kids were newborns. Gross. I have an issue with eye gunk. What else? My favorite punishment lately is about my 5-year-old son. He likes to lie and he really freaks out if I tell him he is growing a tail every time he lies, nothing else scares him. I say, look, I think I see your tail. It's coming out. He starts crying for real and hates it. I keep it going by saying, oh, look, turn around. I see it coming. It really freaks out. Not sure why, but I think it is quite funny. Maybe stop lying.
Oh, I love it.
That's good stuff, see?
I love it. I had a conversation with a buddy of mine. He was like, the way he's going to teach his kid is doing it to him. So if his kid steals, he's going to take something to his.
Something
his kid lies, he's going to lie to his kid.
That's interesting.
I love it. We're going to shoot this short of his kid, and he takes something. He's like, oh, you stole something? Okay, guess what? I took away your mother. You lied to me. I lied to you, too. I didn't take away your mother. She's here in this closet. And then you open the closet. The mother's duct taped up in the corner. And the kid starts crying. I think you can do that in 40 seconds, right?
Yeah, that'd be fine. Yeah, then it's the same. Ah, we're kidding.
Right? Or not, right? Well, a name on it.
In the light of this fantastic tone we've created, we'll do some moment of the week. Let's do that.
Let's see.
You made them. You love them. And sometimes you want to choke the living shit out of them. But occasionally they give you that one sweet moment. This is that moment. Moment of the week, brought to you by Stitcher, the free app that handles all your podcasting needs without having to sync to your computer. Stream all your favorite podcasts right to your Droid, BlackBerry, or iPhone. Just go to thedadpodcast.com and click on the Stitcher logo on the left-hand side. It's free, people, and they give us money if you do it.
So I'll do one for each of my kids, and then you can share one with your kid. It doesn't necessarily have to be from last week, so you know. But mine is, I kind of mentioned it earlier on, where that day where I had a lot of fruit was that I just kind of... I got to had enough energy to go back and wrestle with my kids.
Right.
And what's great is I'm going to combine them actually too, because Jack is walking around, and so he can kind of get in on the wrestling as much as, you know. But really, what it is that I can really kind of fling my oldest around and then get him down, and he laughs or whatever, and then Jack likes to walk away, and then he comes, you know, the drunk, you know, walk towards you, goes, ah, and then he just falls into me, but he kind of like cuddles, like he's like, like that, and I go, oh, you got me. I'll do this one for Jack, because he started walking, which is awesome, but one of the things I like is that I go, you gotta get me, and he walks up to me, and he does this hilarious face, which I can't do it justice, but imagine like doing almost like a bitter beer old man, but like with an O, like tucking his chin back, or like an old man face.
Right,
and he hits me. He goes, oh. Like he gets this real serious look on his face, and I go, and I take each of it, and then he goes, ha, and he laughs, and it's funny, and all that stuff. So it's pretty fucking adorable, and I love it. And so yeah, so get sleep if you can. That's my fucking parental wisdom.
Yeah.
It helps.
This is a moment where
something that you felt good, like, is like,
telling me that, you're saying at some point in this past week there should have been something where I enjoyed.
That should have. Hold on, I'm gonna talk you off this ledge.
No. It's all the time, man. It's like you said, don't bronze their shits. It's hard not to when they just do stuff, when they're discovering the world, and he's figured out how to stand up. And but only like pull himself up. He's not like standing up freely. My wife took a video of him in the bathtub this week, and she's now letting him. He's now big enough that when the water runs out, he'll let him kind of stay in and be
wiggling
around.
Yeah.
And she shot this video where he literally looks like a fish. He's just kicking around on the bottom, and I don't know how he doesn't bang his head into the side. The only way I know that I don't hear it.
Yeah,
you would hear it. God knows he does it a lot.
At table.
But it is so cool to have to hear him do that laugh and just kind of kick into it and splash around the water and figure out the water's going down the drain and try to stop it. Stick his hand in there and pull it out.
It is funny how they get like almost like puppy monkey-ish or whatever like type behavior. I love it.
Anyone that says that we're not from monkeys and you look at a kid, man, you can see it and how they eat and how they figure stuff out. They look like monkeys.
My youngest, there's a lot of like civilized aspect to my oldest son, even when he was a baby, the way I remember it.
Yeah.
And but with my youngest, he is pure animal. Like he's just... walks around. Is, like everything is grunting.
Is he more aggressive?
Because
I've seen this with like 10 different kids where the younger one is like a bull moose.
Yeah.
And the older one is real like kind of, and I wonder if that's how we react to
that. It's got, well, here's what I think it is. What I think it is that when you have that first kid, that's your first kid that's zeroed in. It's a little bit of like only child syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
When the second kid comes in, there's a little bit of like, okay, I can't be the same person to both of you at all times. So you kind of like, in a sense, you back off a little bit. So I imagine in a, you know, in an older school, like, you know, back in like what we were talking about, the way we were brought up, the oldest kid might have a similar type thing where parents weren't in your face. Like, here, let's make a sunflower, you know, that kind of thing. That's the only thing I could think of is that with Jacob, he was getting, we talked to Jack a lot, but it, again, I also think that there's, but that's the only thing I could say that there's a pattern, but I also think there's a lot of genetics that go into personality that I think we can't account for. There's more nature going on than what I believe. And I've heard a lot of people when they have multiple kids, they kind of go, yeah, no, that's, there's something that was in the little baby goo that made that happen, that nothing happened after he came out. Or
there's
whatever.
An element of the third parent too. It's not like your older son is raising him, but he's modeling behavior without even meaning to.
Yes.
So instead of just the two parents, he now has this other person that he's watching all the time.
Yes.
And I think that's
it's great because I've shared that as a moment of the week too, where it's like he'll pick up action figures of his brothers, and he does that same face when he hits me and goes, oh, and he goes, oh, and he's because my son will pick him up and go, oh, I'm gonna get you, bro, and he does a voice for them, and so. His way of playing like his mother's go, oh, and he shakes it and then he throws it.
Right.
So there's where our moment of the weeks. Please continue to spread the word about the show. Don't forget you can go to thedadpodcast.com and underneath each of those episodes. So if you like this one, you can email it to your friends, share it on Facebook, all that stuff. Make sure you like us on facebook.com/dadpodcast or follow us on Twitter @dadpodcast because I use that not only a way you could talk to me if you want. I mean, that's also possible, but I use that mostly if I'm going to be late on episodes like what happened the past couple weeks. We'll send out a word. Don't forget to send me an email if you would be interested. If you have like a headset type situation where we can do like maybe a Skype or whatever, where I can have you on the show. Cause if I'm ever in a jam or I have a guest cancel on me and my wife can't help me out cause the kids' sleeping schedules have shifted on me again. That's why it took me so long to get this out. Then maybe I could just Skype real quick with you guys one time while one's sleeping or whatever, blah, blah, blah. So on behalf of my good friend, Drake Witham. Oh, let's say plugs for you, my friend. Do you have the Twitter? I usually have this all worked out, and I apologize.
You know, I drakewitham.com. Twitter, I'm still waiting for another 9,000 people to tell me to get it before I do that.
Okay, yeah.
Facebook, shot some videos recently that will be on
Do you have like a YouTube channel or something? Or?
I don't have that, no.
Okay. What were you saying? The videos, though, where the shorts
They will be on Life of Dad.
Oh, that's right. Okay, yeah.
Coming up, lifeofdad.com. One a month starting in September. And I'm also going to be launching a podcast called Daddy Issues with two friends of mine. We all
gonna
had
be my fucking competition.
I know. Like, look at me just throwing it in his face. He's coming right in and doing it.
No, Daddy Issues. When do you have a day that you're going to debut?
I don't know that, but that'll also be linked on through.
Well, let me know, and I'll let these guys know
That'd
too.
Be great. That'd be great.
He's good people, so definitely check out Daddy Issues when it comes out.
And thank you so much for having me, man. This was great, and it was great to talk to you about this stuff and see like, oh yeah, there's some of these like this confession stuff, but like, you know, just these darker moments and it's all right and it's
normal.
Isn't
that funny? It's funny that's the like I've said it before, but that was the genesis of the show where I was like, oh, I'll do a show that's funny for dads, and I started to look what's out there, and a lot of them, again, I'm not dissing it, I'm just saying they had a spiritual element, or it's like, you know, here's some activities that you could do with your kid, and I'm going to teach you how to make a little treasure chest, and which I think is great. I'm not shitting on it. I'm just saying that wasn't my mindset, that it made me feel alone. So I'm like, well, I'll put out my mindset. Maybe there's some other people out there. It turns out there's quite a few that agree with, I guess you could say, our mindset more so than they're like, I don't have time to fucking think about, you know, making a treasure chest. But at the same time, want to. Like, I don't want to sound like, because I think it's an unfair representation of us and the people that listen to the show say, we don't love our kids. No, we love them more than fucking everything. But you need that away. This is almost like a date night where you get away and go, fuck them. That fucking bullshit. And then you go back and you hug them and you love them and have great. Oh, my God. Hold on. I'm going to hit pause. So what I did was I thought that somebody sent it via Twitter, but it was a voicemail that I don't think I had a chance to put into my voicemail box. But somebody shared a really sweet moment of the week that they had with their daughter because they've been working a lot. And whoever you are, you're listening going, it's me, you fucking dipshit. And I apologize, but I will definitely get to that this next week unless it is here. And it does not seem to be. Yeah. All right. So I apologize, but I'll have that ready for you next week. On behalf of my good friend Drake Witham, this is Justin Worsham saying stay frosty.